This is Hacker Public Radio episode 3264 for Thursday the 4th of February 2021. Today's show is entitled, Intro to Nargios. It is hosted by Norrist, and is about 20 minutes long, and carries a clean flag. The summary is, introduce some Nargios basics, and walk through setting up Nargios on Ubuntu.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by Archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
Nargios on the requested topics page, and I'm not an expert with Nargios, but I do use it, and I know a little bit about it, and I know, you know, some of the sort of principles behind how Nargios works. So hopefully today I can give a useful introduction and review some of the principles of Nargios. Nargios is a network monitoring tool. So you define some things you want Nargios to check for you, and then Nargios does those checks and alerts you if those checks fail. Nargios has a web UI that it's normally used to see the status of checks. There are some basic administration tasks you can do from the web UI, stuff like enabling and disabling notifications, scheduling downtimes, or forcing an immediate check. Nargios is primarily configured with text files. You have to edit the Nargios config files to do stuff like adding servers or customizing some of the check commands. There is a commercial version of Nargios called Nargios XI. Nargios XI requires a paid license and includes support. It has some extra features, things like wizards for adding hosts, and it makes it easy to clone a host. I've used Nargios XI, but I personally don't find the extra features very useful and definitely not worth the price. I think probably the biggest reason people would use Nargios XI is if they work in an enterprise that requires paid commercial support for software. The community version of Nargios is referred to as Nargios Core, which is what we'll focus on in this episode. The Nargios project has some official documentation, which I don't really like for something like this. The Nargios documentation is a lot like a man page, where if you need to know something, you can look it up. But if you're just starting out, or if you're looking for a tutorial for how to get started, probably not the right place. It may be possible for someone to read the documentation and install and configure Nargios for the first time, but it took me a lot of trial and error to get a Nargios server working, especially if I was just looking at the official documentation. Outside of the official documentation, most of the Nargios installation guides I found online recommend downloading and building Nargios from the Nargios site. My general policy is to use packages instead. So normally I like to stick to OS provided packages to make long-term maintenance easier. You may not always get the latest feature release, but installation and updates are usually easier. I know not everyone's gonna agree with me here, and we'll want to build the latest version from Nargios. But regardless of how you want to install Nargios, a lot of the principles I'll talk about today will still apply. I'm making the assumption that most listeners will be familiar with Debian and Ubuntu, so I'll go over installing Nargios on Ubuntu using the Nagios packages in the Ubuntu repository. Before I go over the installation, I'll talk a little bit about some of the pieces that make up Nagios and the Nagios checks that are for either hosts or services. From the Nagios documentation, a host definition is used to define a physical server, workstation, or device, etc., something that resides on your network. A service definition is used to define a service that runs on a host. The term service is used very loosely and can mean an actual service that runs on the host or some other type of metric associated with the host. Normally, hosts are checked using ping. If the host responds to the ping within the specified time frame, the host is considered to be up. Once a host is determined to be up, you can optionally check services on that host. To start the installation, the first thing you need to do is install the package. In this case, apt install the package named Nagios 4. It'll pull in all the dependencies it needs. One of the dependencies it pulls in is a package called Monitoring Plugins. I'll talk more about the Monitoring Plugins package when we dig a little bit into the checks. The primary user interface for Nagios is a CGI-driven web application, usually served via Apache. If all you do is install the Nagios 4 package, the web UI isn't functional, so we'll need to make a few Apache configuration changes. The Nagios configuration file for Apache contains a directive that's not enabled in Apache by default. So the first thing we'll do is enable some Apache modules on Debian and Ubuntu. That's usually done with the a2nmod command. So in this case, we'll use a2nmod to enable authz underscore group file and auth underscore digest. Then obviously you need to restart Apache. The next step is to enable users in the Nagios UI. We'll do that by editing /Nagios4/CGI.cfg. Look for the line that says use authentication equals 0 and change that to use authentication equals 1. Next, we need to modify Apache to require a logged in user. There is a Apache file that ships with the Nagios package. It's in etc apache 2 comps enabled. And then the name of the file is nagios4-cgi.comp. We will change the line that says require all granted to require valid user. The installed config file limits access to Nagios from only localhost, so you can only access it from localhost. That's not really useful for us in this case, so we need to edit that same file again. Look for a line that starts with require IP, and then just delete that line. The last thing we need to do is create a basic auth user. I normally create a user with a username nagios_admin, but it can be anything. We'll use the htdigest command to create a password file, and with a Nagios admin user and password in it. I'll have the specific command in the show notes. Now all we need to do is restart Apache and Nagios with the service commands, and the Nagios UI will be fully functional. Nagios uses a collection of small standalone executable scripts or programs that perform the checks. The results of the checks are either okay, warning, or critical, depending on the exit code of the check. If the exit code is 0, the check is okay. If the exit code is 1, it's a warning. And if the exit code is 2, that's critical. The check commands are standalone applications that can be ran independent from Nagios. Running the checks from the shell is helpful to better understand how the checks work. The location of the check commands can vary depending on how Nagios is packaged. But in this case, if you follow along, the checks will be in userlib nagios plugins. Looking at the names of the files in the check directory should give you an idea of their purpose. For example, it should be obvious what check underscore HTTP and check underscore ICMP are for. So to get an idea of what the command looks like when you run it from the command line and what it outputs, if you cd to the userlib nagios plugins directory and then run .slash check ICMP localhost, that's checking to ping localhost. And then you can see it prints out okay, and then it prints out some stats about the ping, how long it took, if there were retries, stuff like that. Most of the checks can be ran with dash H for help. It'll print a usage statement about how that individual check program should be used. The checks can be in any language, as long as it can be executed by the server that's running Nagios. Most of the checks that ship with Nagios are written in C and compiled, but it's really common to have checks that are written in a scripting language like Perl or Python or Bash. If you're interested in the programming language that the checks are written in, you can use the file command and it'll tell you if it's a text file or a Perl script, or in this case with check ICMP, it's a ELF binary. So now let's talk a little bit about how Nagios is configured. The primary configuration file for Nagios is in /etc/nagios4/nagios.cfg. Nagios.cfg has a directive that will load additional files. In this case, it's where I put all my user-generated files. There's a line that says config dir equals /etc/nagios4/conf.d. So anything you want to add to Nagios, you can put in this conf.d folder. So usually I'll put everything I generate for Nagios in the conf.d folder and then use git to keep the directory under version control and to have a backup of the Nagios config files. So before Nagios can run the check programs we looked at earlier, there has to be a command definition that Nagios can use. There are some predefined commands in /etc/nagios4/objects/commands.cfg. The Debian package monitoring plugins basic contains several command definitions that are loaded by Nagios, and that those command definitions are stored in /etc/nagios plugins/config. So let's look at one of the commands. If we look in the directory /etc/nagios plugins/config, there's a file called ping.cfg. In there we can see some of the commands that are defined. One of them is named check-host-alive. And then if you find that in there, you can see the command line is actually one of the programs we looked at earlier in the Nagios plugins directory with some additional arguments. When commands are defined, the command underscore name and command underscore line are both required to be set. The command line is the path to the executable that will actually perform the check and the optional arguments. Most of the checks will require a dash capital H, which is the host address that the command is going to check. The check host alive command also contains arguments that set the critical and warning thresholds with a dash C for critical and a dash W for warning. So if you look in the ping.cfg file with the commands in it, we'll look at one more just to get an idea of how the commands can be different. There's another similar command, but instead of check-host-alive, it's called check-underscore-ping. The difference is that check-underscore-ping requires that you pass it two arguments, one for the warning set point and one for the critical set point. Talk a second about templates. Hosts and services require a lot of reused variables. The object definitions normally use templates to avoid having to repetitively set the same variables on every host. Nagios ships with predefined variables for hosts and services that'll work in most cases. In Ubuntu, the templates are defined in etc nagios for objects templates.cfg. The template definitions are the same as other object definitions, except they contain the phrase register space 0, which designates the object as a template. I'll show how the templates are used when I go over the host and service definitions. So one of the main sort of points of having something like Nagios is that you get notified when some checks fail. So by default, notifications are sent via email to Nagios at localhost. The easiest way to get notifications is to configure the Nagios server to forward emails to a monitored email address. Since a lot of networks block sending emails directly, email forwarding can sometimes be challenging. In a follow-up episode, I'll cover setting up postfix to relay mail through a mail sending service and maybe some other methods that you can use for getting alerts. By default, Nagios is configured to monitor itself, localhost. Now, monitoring localhost can be useful, but you probably want to add some additional servers to monitor. Have a look at etc Nagios objects, localhost.cfg, if you want to see how the checks for localhost are defined. So let's add something else to monitor. We'll use google.com as an example, just because it's something that's easy to check. So we'll create a file named google.cfg, and we'll put it in the config directory that we talked about earlier, /conf.d. The files that you put in that directory can be named anything as long as they end in .cfg. But I like to have one file per host, and I like to have the file name be the name of the host that we're monitoring. So in this case, we'll create a file called google.cfg, and I'll have a copy of that file in the show notes. So the first thing we need to put in google.cfg is the host definition. The only thing that's really required in the host definition is host_name, and then the remaining requirements are going to be met by using the generic host template. Next, we can add a service to check. The easiest thing to check for Google is just HTTP. The host name, service description, and check command are the things that have to be defined for the service. There's other requirements for service definitions, but we can use the generic service template to meet those requirements. So now that we've added google.cfg, Nagios has to be restarted to pick up the changes. Before we restart Nagios, before I restart anything, I like to check that the syntax is valid. So for Nagios, you can run Nagios 4, which is the main Nagios binary, then -v, and then give it the path to the main config file, /nagios4/nagios.cfg. That'll print a summary of the Nagios configuration, and if there's any errors or warnings, they'll be printed at the end. Warnings are not fatal, but you should probably look at them. If there are any errors, that'll keep Nagios from restarting. So if you run the check, it'll tell you if there's errors. So before you restart Nagios, you need to look at the errors and see if you can figure out how you can change the google.cfg file. So now that we've got something to monitor, we can take a look at the Nagios UI. If you go to the HTTP and then the server host name and then /Nagios4, on the left side there's a menu. And under the host tab, you should see the two hosts, localhost and the host we added, google.com. And you can also see the service checks for those two hosts. I've already made the mistake of mentioning a follow-up episode, so now I'm committed. So next time, I'll try to cover some enhancements we can make to the basic Nagios setup we talked about today. I'll try to go over, like I already mentioned, some ways to get notifications. I'll talk about some of the other monitoring plugin packages that are in Ubuntu. I'll look at writing a custom check. And then we'll look real quick at SNMP and how we can use SNMP to monitor host load average and disk usage. And as a bonus for this episode, I'll include in the show notes an Ansible playbook that I used to build Nagios servers while I was developing the notes for this episode. Leave a comment if there's some other aspects of Nagios besides the ones I mentioned that you'd like me to cover. I'm not going to make any promises, but I'll do my best. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you guys next time.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.